And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. My next guest is Ed Mercer, Chief of Police for the Juno Police Department. Hello, Chief Mercer. It's good to have you here today.
Yeah, Shelley. Good to have be back on again. Time goes by pretty fast.
And we're actually having you on a little ahead of schedule because of all that's happening this weekend. We know that you want to talk to our audience about how to be safe. So let's dive right in. Would you like to start with July 4th operations and what you guys are watching out for?
Sure. So, you know, the 4th of July operations is actually one of our biggest details for the Juno Police Department. We stand a parade detail in two different locations, the downtown Juno Parade and also the Douglas Parade. So it's all hands on deck when it comes to the Juno Police Department, whether it be the uniform services or dispatch and the whole nine yards. So we're going to be out there in numbers. We'll be out there also on the third evening of the third. For the firework display. So once again, I think we're kind of moving back to some normalcy compared to last year where we didn't have a parade and a lot of the community was concerned about that. So we're expecting that there are going to be a lot of people out there doing things. And we just want to assure the public that we're going to be out there as well, trying to keep people safe and they see us out there. I mean, we'll be out there doing our standard other enforcement for speeding, also for DWIs. So we'll be out there looking, and hopefully people will get through this holiday weekend safe and going home to their place opposed to going somewhere else.
Nice way of putting it. So we have the big fireworks display that's officially happening. That's going to be happening downtown. They'll be set off from the channel whenever it gets dark, and if there's weather issues when that clears up. So everybody pretty much knows how that goes. What about people like letting off fireworks on their own personal property? There's some new ordinances in place, so maybe we should go over those.
Yeah. So, you know, the city assembly passed ordinance, and we now officially have a fireworks ordinance. And that really outlines where you can and cannot be shooting off two different types of fireworks, one being concussive, you know, those loud boom displays and mortars and those types of things, and then also the non-concussive, which is allowed year-round. So we really didn't change, like, on the two specific holidays, the 4th of July and New Year's holidays, as far as that goes. We allow certain types of fireworks to be shot off on private property between, I believe, if I could quickly look at my display that I have, you know, on the July 3rd, it starts at 10 a.m. to midnight, and then on July 4th, it's midnight to 1 a.m. So the city felt it was necessary to allow some forms of fireworks for people to celebrate, you know, the holiday. And we're staying in line with that as far as it goes. But we will specifically be looking for people who are violating the ordinance and shooting off those concussive type of fireworks that make a very loud boom. You probably felt them if you live out in the valley, or I've heard in Douglas area as far as it goes. We will be responsive, and we will be investigating those types of calls coming into us. So I recognize this is something fairly new for the community, but it's something that obviously was important enough for our city assembly to vote on and pass ordinance for us to go out there and have this enforcement. So, you know, it's starts off as a $250 fine, and if you're you have repeat offenses, it can go up to $500 to a mandatory court appearance. So There's varying different degrees of penalty on it. We also want to inform the public that although this is something that can be a nuisance, we ask the public for voluntary compliance and really try to enjoy and respect their neighbors as far as that goes. We could get inundated at the police department with these type of calls. Well, a lot of other things are going on in the community where we have to prioritize those calls for service. So we just ask the public to be respectful of that. We'll be responsive as fast as we possibly can, depending on what's going on out there. And one thing I would pass on to the public is please do not call the 911 if it's a firework issue. Call or line our main line at, you know, 586-0600 and report it in that manner, because, you know, there might be a emergency going on in the community, and we don't want to be locking up our 911 lines to something that may be a nuisance or a violation of the fireworks ordinance.
Before we move on to topics that are not related to the holiday, it sounds like you're going to be all business this weekend. Your whole department is going to be working, all hands on deck. Does the 4th of July have any special meaning for you? Do you find a way to celebrate it, or is it for you just the mission is to keep everybody safe?
I think it's really we know there's going to be a lot of people out trying to enjoy it. And, you know, we want to stay out of people's business and want people just to enjoy themselves as long as they're not, you know, doing something that they shouldn't be doing out there. So I think as the police in general, it's one of these holidays we try to get through and enjoy it afterwards. But for the time being, you're absolutely right. It's pretty much all business. You know, we want the safety of the public to be so that we don't have nothing in the newspaper the following week as far as anything going on and somebody get hurt or somebody getting arrested. We really want people to have a good time, but do it respectfully and follow the laws and do those type of things. So, I would say in my 20 some plus years, I've always just wanted to get through the 4th of July. It's just, you're dealing with a lot of people, in varying stages, whether it be overconsumption of alcohol to, just people trying to have fun and stuff like that. And, after it's all said and done, we kind of sit back and then we could enjoy our time with our families and stuff like that.
Hmm. Well, thanks for answering that one, Chief Mercer. So moving on to topics not directly related to the holiday weekend, bear nuisances, it's that time of year, they're out and about. I saw one right on my front porch in the middle of the day on a Saturday last weekend, so they're coming around.
Yeah, our four-legged friends are out there, and but last several years, you know, some people have varying opinion on more activity and whatnot. And years ago, I can tell you when I was working the swing shift, a good portion of our calls were bear calls. And then the city enacted the ordinance for pickup for garbage and keeping it secured until the day of pickup. So what we have done and what we continue to do early, usually in the latter part of spring, we go out with our community service unit and they try to give out warnings to people that may be putting their garbage out too early before 4 a.m. on the day of pickup. So we just try to educate the people and try to get voluntary compliance. Our furry friends are not going to go away. Unfortunately, once they're invited, they always want to come back. So certainly bear nuisance is a problem in our community. And the more we could do as a community to try to prevent from having to harm one of those bears because they become a nuisance. And then also, we don't want the bears interacting and running around with our children in the neighborhoods. And sometimes we get those type of complaints as far as it goes.
Hmm. So, I hope that everyone listening is just, we'll just do everything they can to make your job a little bit easier and to keep our neighborhoods safe from bears. I know that nobody wants to see anything bad happen to people or bears most of the time.
So. Yeah.
Thanks for the reminders on that. And then the at-risk community program, we just have a little bit of time left. You want to touch on that?
Sure, I'll just touch on that. We started this program several months ago, earlier in the year, at-risk community program, because we felt, time is of essence when somebody is, a loved one's missing, our friend's missing and whatnot. And this is more directed towards an individual that may need special assistance. They may suffer from autism. They may be, elderly that wander away from their home. And we offer this program for the community, for loved ones or friends, that they could complete information, a packet that we have here, so that in the event they call the police, we have enough information that we could dispatch our police officers on and act right away. For example, maybe they tend to frequent some particular area. Maybe they walk in a certain area. Maybe they like hanging out in a certain area. Or maybe there's a style of communication that works better in the event we have contact with them. Those types of things that we ask during a questionnaire on a form that the public could go fill out. They could go to our website and get the form and submit it to us and kind of go along that long up. I've worked several cases on search and rescue where we had a young adult who suffered from autism that wandered up a trail and was gone for 36 hours before somebody found him. So, and we were trying to gather as much information from family, exactly what they have and how this person, maybe where they go and how they like being interacted with.
That sounds like it could be really helpful to just have that information right off the bat.
Yeah. And once we started this up, I think we automatically got 5 or 6, applications. So we do have, you know, people are using it, and we just encourage and let the public know that this is out there, and we're more than willing to, take that information and be ready in the event somebody comes up missing in their family.
Well, I'm happy we can help you get the word out on that here on Juno Afternoon. And the last thing we wanted to talk about today was the flooding of the Taku River. There's some alerts out on the National Weather Service website, and we heard a little bit about it on the morning news today here on KTOO. You and I talked a little bit about this before the interview. It's not in a residential area, but lots of people in Juneau have property out there that could possibly be affected, and it's in your jurisdiction. You told me that. I didn't know that. So what would you like folks to know about this flooding event?
Well, I think the Weather Service has provided announcements and letting people know not only just the flooding and the dangers of flooding, but, you know, it's a popular area in the summertime for Juneauites to go up the river, and there's going to be debris coming down the river that could be dangerous and whatnot. So just be mindful of all this type of thing, especially over the weekend. A lot of people want to get away from Juneau. I assume they go up to their properties up in the Taku River. And with this all going on, you know, aside from worrying about your property, you got to worry about your well-being. And it's just pretty much common sense of, you know, advisements there as far as it goes. So, and you're absolutely right. Jurisdictionally, it is in our area. And on occasion, we have to go up there for something that is reported. And it's rare, but we do occasionally do that.
All right. Well, thanks for the info on that and everything else, Chief Mercer. I hope you do get through this 4th of July holiday with minimum stress.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, and I really appreciate you guys having us on the show early so we can talk about these things. And again, we're excited that we're moving on, and you know, this year we're able to celebrate our 4th of July. So I'm just hopeful that everything goes well.
Me as well. Well, I hope everybody's COVID conscious in the crowds and all of that. And thanks again so much for your time today, Chief Mercer. Have a good one.
Thanks, Shelley.